Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was growing up, my Scottish father always had a habit which slightly irked me of referring to Sundays as the Sabbath. So if there was a Six Nations rugby match on a Sunday, although when I was growing up it was the Five Nations, he'd say, tut-tutting and tongue firmly in cheek, "Och, sport on the Sabbath." That perhaps reflected the strict Sabbatarianism of parts of Scotland, which has declined, but which in some places still exists today. And that Sabbatarianism, portrayed in the film Chariots of Fire, the real-life story focusing on Eric Liddell, the Scottish athlete and top sprinter, the Usain Bolt of his day, in that film he forgoes the highly likely prospect of an Olympic 100 metres gold medal in Paris in 1924, because the heats were run on a Sunday. And because they were run on a Sunday, Liddell withdrew from the competition and received no medal, although he did win a gold in his left favoured 400 metres, or probably it was yards then, which was run on weekdays. There's even a scene in the film where Liddell is in the Scottish church in Paris reading from the very passage of Isaiah that we've heard read this evening, where we heard those words, "Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength." And perhaps Liddell was aware of the irony of the following words, "They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint." There are still some sports people who take that line today, such as the Scottish rugby player Ewan Murray, who sits out of all fixtures on a Sunday. And that's one manifestation of the way in which the concept of the Sabbath is handled today, at least in a Christian dispensation. So what is the Sabbath all about? It seems to be about a resting, but a resting in God, a time to renew one's strength by resting in the Lord. It becomes harder and harder in a 24/7 society, active all the time. When the world trades, we sleep. It's very hard in that sort of world to find pools for rest and refreshment. But it's not just thrusting city executives and top business people who this affects. To my horror, the other day, a member of the clergy, who is supposedly retired, spoke of the necessity of finding a day off in which to recover and be renewed. Many retired people, clergy or not, speak of that sort of experience. Even retirement brings no respite to the way in which we drive ourselves. This is true as well for carers and, as we think about them particularly today, mothers, and indeed all those committed and responsible for other people. Perhaps in different ways, we all recognise what Eric Liddell's wife says to him in the film, "You're so full of running that you've no time for standing still." That seems to echo Isaiah's words, "Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint." We've come to a point where we neglect the concept of a day of rest. We even compromise the little Sabbath that we might call our night's sleep. That little Sabbath, surely a God's gift to us of a time of rest and recovery. But so many of us adopt a rather macho posture about our inability to rest and sleep. Indeed, the phrase the power nap was coined to give the impression that this is a strong, powerful sort of thing that thrusting executives do, rather than the limp sounding a quick 40 winks after lunch. Even the term rest day or day off sounds like we're skiving in some way. I've taken a particular interest in thinking about sleep across the different disciplines, not least in the theological, over the last couple of years. And the more I reflect on the place of sleep, of rest and refreshment, the more I connect it to this concept of the Sabbath, the need, as Isaiah speaks elsewhere, to be renewed by drinking deep from the wellsprings of God's love. But reference to the Sabbath, and you may have been thinking it already, is characterized in many people's mind either by the strict Sabbatarianism of the west of Scotland, or of their perceptions of what they imagine to be an overly legalistic Jewish observance of the Sabbath. We might feel a little more generous about the Sabbath when we sing, O Sabbath, rest by Galilee, O calm of hills above, where Jesus knelt to share with thee the silence of eternity interpreted by love. But otherwise, the word Sabbath often is taken as a bit killjoy and miserable. And let's face it, the horse bolted a long time ago when it comes to the place of Sundays as a corporate societal Sabbath. But then, as Christians, we have lurking in our minds, perhaps they should be at the forefront of our minds, the words of Jesus himself, who says, Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. Jesus violated, we might say, the strictest interpretations of the Sabbath imposed by the zealous. For example, those who would say you should not heal people whilst permitting the rescue of animals. Have a look in St. Luke's Gospel for that one. Jesus exposed the constraints of human-based Sabbath custom. Sometimes that gets deployed as an excuse not to honour or even consider what the Sabbath might be about. So what is it actually about? How might you, how might I handle the concept of the Sabbath today? There's a very interesting Czech economist by the name of Thomas Sedlacek, who's writing about economics and the benefits, or the good economics and the evil in economics. And he takes the concept of Sabbath as well and suggests, actually, of all the Ten Commandments, it's possibly the most violated. So what is this fourth commandment? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. The Sabbath is part, then, of the creation itself and sets both a pattern for rest and the pursuit of holiness. That's what Isaiah seems to be talking about as he suggests that those who wait for the Lord, who pursue holiness, shall renew their strength. They shall be renewed and recover. Sabbath, properly configured, is a time to do that. Sabbath connects us directly to God's rest at the creation and the first thing upon which God bestows his blessing. That commandment, then, has a priority of holiness with it. Sabbath made for us to give us space to be renewed in holiness, renewed like an eagle, resting and nesting in the Lord. The Sabbath tells us that the goal of each week and the sleep of each day is not about optimization and maximizing the productivity of every moment. It tells us that so much so that we can talk about the holiness of resting, so that we can renew our strength by waiting, stopping, pausing. I wonder what that will look like in your life. Certainly reflect upon it in my life. But don't we know it runs against the grain of our culture? This inability to wait, to stop, to pause, has a terrible adverse impact on the health, both mental and physical, of individuals, upon the well-being of society, and indeed the whole environment. We suck people and habits dry in the false belief that we will be satisfied and renewed by our constant activity. This holy season of Lent is a time of grace to reconsider the patterns of our lives, to acknowledge and to confront the self-justifying busyness of our lives, and to stop, to pause, to wait on the Lord, who promises to renew our strength. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.